Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett-King.
And Alistair. It's still kind of spooky season, because the nights are drawing in.
It's still spooky out there.
It's way spooky.
Bats' wings, full moons.
Saw such a mist the other day. Ooh.
Trees like crooked fingers.
I've got a real witchy tale for you.
I'm delighted to hear that.
It's the Witch of Berkeley.
Oh, outstanding in her field.
Staring at birds, divining. Oh, Alistair, how are you?
I'm all right, but is that a note of weariness I hear in your old voice there, James?
It is.
Are you a little under the weather?
I've fallen under the weather.
It's not our old frenemy COVID, is it?
Yeah, I got the two lines. I got the two red lines.
I'm sorry. Well, should we just wrap it up? Should we just call it a day? Just leave this one.
Well,
pop you back into bed.
I've got a little something.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem.
That I just have to tell you.
Oh, okay, story.
Right. It's a story because Alistair, I don't know if you remember, we did that live show only the other day.
I do actually remember that, which is rare because I forget most of our episodes.
And I brought along a book from home, Witchcraft in Britain by Christ in a Hole. It's Christina Hole, as illustrated by Mervyn Peake.
And I came wearing my own clothes and brought a board game, like the last day of school.
Yes, exactly right. That's about it. I got in trouble for putting danger, do not cross hazard tape all over the teacher's toilets.
Oh, you rascal, James.
The statute of limitations has expired on that one, so I can admit to it here.
Did you really? I'll tee you up for it. Did you really do that on the last day of school, James?
Yeah.
James, were you a bad boy?
No.
I thought I was the original bad boy.
You were the original bad boy. We just watched Neighbours. They always did Muck Up Day, and we were heavily influenced by Australian soaps. So we did our own Muck Up Day. So we taped up the staff toilets with Danger Do Not Cross tape. And, yeah, let's cut that out. And nothing else happened. There's a good edit point.
Oh, yeah. That'll sound convincing in the edit. People will go, believable.
But speaking of rules and not obeying those rules...
You're dealing with James Shakeshaft now.
By the way, this Witchcraft in Britain book by Christ in a Hole is Christina Hole. It's really good. Like, every page I've turned the corner over for, like, something that I want to talk about on the podcast at some point. In a way, I don't need to turn any pages over.
It's just the whole book.
Because it's just the whole book.
Stop folding over pages like a maniacal origami expert, James. Accept that the whole book is good.
It's real good. This is how it opens. Chapter 1, Witchcraft in England. Witchcraft was known in England, as in most other countries of Europe, from time immemorial. Boom.
Yeah, right from the time immemorial.
She's setting a stall out in the little square next to the time immemorial. And it says, the Romans had their own laws against the practice of magic, especially charms and incantations intended to harm ordinary people or any attempts made to discover the length of the emperor's life.
Ooh.
Yeah, centuries later, it's still a serious offence in England to try to divine how long the king will live.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
I think I'm in trouble. I don't know where the statute of limitations on that, because my kids keep asking me when he's going to die.
Bonk, bonk, bonk. Kids, are you trying to work out how long the king will live in there? No, leave us alone. Stop it. That's been a crime since time immemorial.
Since the time immemorial. I think it was because the queen died, and they're quite young. They're like, oh, that's what happened. Kings and queens died, do they? When's the king going to die?
That's going to raise some questions for them, yeah. Well, that's tricky for us, because no monarch has died in our lifetime until that moment, so we weren't really ready for it. We were like, you mean the queen can die?
It's game over, man. Get away from her, you bee. That's my only other experience of a queen dying.
Aliens.
The film Aliens.
The film Alien 2, I think it was called. Did not like it. Sorry to alienate the entire male population of the Earth, but...
Pun.
Didn't... Yeah, it's all right. Didn't really like it.
De-alienate the
entire population. Wow, I didn't even intentionally pun there on alienate.
D- Did you accidentally watch the director's cut?
I did watch the director's cut.
Because that is 20 minutes longer.
Well, the thing, but I looked up which scenes that they had put back in, and I liked those bits. Like, they took out all the stuff about her daughter, which is it's nuts to me that you would have taken those scenes out. It absolutely needs that. Otherwise, it would have been a film about nothing. That isn't very interesting as a tangent, but that is my opinion.
Do you want more witch laws then?
Yes, please.
In the 7th century, Theodore, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
I can think of two other good names for Archbishops of Canterbury.
Is it Alvin and Simon?
Yeah, Alvin and Simon would be great names for Archbishops of Canterbury. Maybe the Pope could be called Dave. Yeah.
Them squeaking their way through the Lord's Prayer. He drew up a number of punishments for forms of witchcraft, and as Christ in a Hole says, none of them were severe. So if you made sacrifices to demons, you just had to do penance from 1 to 10 years. If you killed someone by spells, you had to do penance for 7 years. That's it, just penance.
Has penance got softer over the years? Or is it just saying sorry? Is it just praying?
I think it's mostly praying. It's, although during 3 of those years, you got to only eat bread and water. But still, you're not in jail. So you could get some quite good artisan loaves, I imagine.
No seeds on the bread. Seeds aren't bread. You can't have...
Have I done my joke about the superseded loaf?
It sounds familiar.
They do seeded batch. And then they brought out like a superseded batch. But even at the point of buying it, I felt that it was old hat. Because it had been superseded.
The crowd enjoyed that.
Thank you very much. I thought that was you running away.
Bare feet. Always bare feet when we record. Never wear shoes to a recording.
You're like the... Oh, God damn it. I wish I'd remember anyone's name. That pop star.
I think as we age, this podcast has moved through a period of being middle-aged men remembering things to a point where it's middle-aged men not remembering things.
Forgetting the name Joss Stone.
The forgettening. Yeah, I'm the Joss Stone of podcasts.
Nice one. Apparently, astrologers who invoke demons for the purpose of sending a man mad had to fast on bread and water for a year and then just 4 more years penance. General penance.
Jen Penn, yeah, fine.
Jenny Penny.
I gotta say, I'm not sure that Archbishop Alvin, maybe he doesn't really believe in witchcraft.
Simon or Theodore.
I'm not sure which one.
Is it all three of them stacked up in row?
Yeah, classic. I think perhaps he recognises that witchcraft is not a real thing and is choosing deliberately mild punishments.
It's the same punishment as that for sending a man mad with demons as raising storms.
What next?
So by the time we get to 1065, though...
That was a real... Kind of looking at your watch year.
Yeah.
1065. God, it feels like something's supposed to be happening. I just don't feel like I can start on any projects.
Yeah, not worth it.
No.
Well, William of Malmesbury did.
William Malms, the historian?
The historian. He started writing down some of his history stuff. And he says he heard this story from someone who saw the whole thing happen in 1065.
Wow. That's an unusual amount of detail for a historian around that time.
This is the story of the Witch of Berkeley.
Thank you.
The Witch of Berkeley.
Berkeley for Americans.
I'm not sure if we've talked about it before. Berkeley is a village in Gloucestershire.
Gloucester for Americans.
Yes. It's the home of the guy that invented vaccinations.
Is it?
Jenner. Yeah, Thingy Jenner. I'll look his name up.
Is this the puss guy? The putting the bit of puss under your skin?
Yeah, Edward Jenner, who bravely put some pus on his servant's skin. Yeah.
Yeah, and luckily it turned out to be a vaccination. He was just a hilarious prankster.
He's just a real grotty man.
Yeah, come in here. You're not going to make me have pus under my skin, are you? I am.
He first tested it on the 8-year-old son of his gardener.
Oh, nice.
But I think like at that point, a bunch of other people had done it. You know, it was like a folk knowledge that if you'd had that, you wouldn't get this.
Was it cows? Or was it pigs?
I think if you got cow, you wouldn't get small.
That's it. It wasn't pigs. It was cows. And so the milkmaids didn't get smallpox because they'd had cowpox. You're listening to two men eventually remembering historical events.
Slowly Googling. And I guess the 8-year-old had not had either. He had to have someone who was young because then they'd not had either. So he gave cowpox to the boy.
It was pogs in my day.
He was from Berkeley. And that's where the Witch of Berkeley was from.
Really?
Yes. Now, actually, when I tell this story, Alistair, I've got a feeling I might have touched on it before, but In my defense, I've currently got COVID.
He's ill, listener.
And I the time that I remember it is, it seems like it was during our lockdown fever times.
So you've been thrown back there by the infection.
Yeah.
Well, look, I let you do that superseded loaf joke again, so I can't really stop you.
That's true.
Let's do the Witch of Berkeley.
I did ask on the Law Folk Discord, and no one said that I'd done it.
No one seemed bothered. Or interested at all.
Yeah. So this woman, she was known. So, oh, sorry, my other source is Mysterious Gloucestershire by Mark Turner. Not Peter Andre.
No, but he did write the whole book up to his waist in water.
Yes, and it says here it's dedicated to a baby girl. No, there is no dedication.
I didn't think there would be. I thought you were joking there, James.
The Witch of Berkeley was a woman who was known for her ability to tell fortunes and interpret omens.
You better not work out how long the king will live.
Yeah. She had a pet bird. Some people say it was a raisin. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you can't edit it out. I enjoyed it. A little pet raisin and a couple of cocktail sticks.
With wings?
Living in a matchbox. How are you doing in there, Terry the Raisin? All right, get back in. No, I don't want to go in a box. Go back in the box.
It was a raven. I misspoke, Alistair. Sorry to shatter your dreams. Some say she had a pet raven. Some say it was a
raven,
chuff.
You say.
And according to Billy of Marmes, it was a jackdaw.
A jackdaw. Okay.
None of which are as good as a raisin.
None of those are as good as Terry the Raisin, in my view.
But one day, that chuff, raven, jackdaw, or maybe a raisin, you know what, it could have been, died. It took to the air, flew three times round the room, then fell down dead. And she said, "Now this day is the plough come to my last furrow." Which is quite, poetry, Alistair.
A bit dubious.
I quite like the poetry there. The plough's come to the last furrow.
You like that?
It's got to the edge of the field, yeah. Could be a field of raisins. I'm not sure how they grow.
Oh, so she knew that she knew she was going to die. She saw an omen in the flight of that bird.
I'm interpreting this omen in the death of the bird or raisin.
Quoth the raisin, nevermore.
Oh, nice. Because he's dead. Yeah. Yes. Well, no sooner had she said this than a messenger came into the house and declared that her son and his family had died.
Ooh.
And she was like, yep, this is it, definitely. Right. God's on to me. I've been doing all this, you know, naughty stuff.
Yeah, he's finally caught on.
My son and his family, my raisin / raven.
Yeah, God naturally went, I'll start with the raisin and work up from there.
You know, like in The Godfather, where it's like a horse's head in the bed, you're going to notice. A raisin, it might escape your notice for a few days.
Yeah, it's a bit too subtle really, isn't it?
If you're sending a message.
Yeah, if you wake up and there's a raisin in your bed, that just means you've been having a crumpet late at night. It's not necessarily a threat.
A late night tea cake.
From God, the ultimate godfather.
Nice.
Who polices the police? Who godfathers the godfather?
God?
God, yeah, probably.
God the father. The thing is, though, you will come to his house on the day of your daughter's wedding, though, won't you? Because aren't all churches God's house?
Yeah,
And most weddings take place in church, so... Oh, get over it, God. Yes, we have come to the house on the day of your daughter's wedding. Stop doing the silly voice.
Well, to be fair, though, he is very unclear in the way he talks, God. Like, you could have actually just been a bit more specific about a few issues and saved us a lot of hassle. I'm being very vague about these instructions.
So she was worried, God's on to me. He's sending warnings, he's killed my
raisin. Killed that raisin.
My favourite raisin. She sent for her two surviving children. Fortunately, these were a monk and a nun.
A monk and a nun?
A monk and a nun. One's a monk, one's a nun. A nun and a monk. Right. According to Malmesbury, she told them there was no hope at all of saving her soul from hell, but if they would follow her instructions carefully, they might be able to save her body.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the point is of the distinction there.
Mm.
Surely.
The soul would be the priority at this point, I would have thought.
Yes.
But if, I mean, you've got all bases covered with a monk and a nun. So if anyone can do it, It's a nun-monk team.
They're the original odd couple.
You used to see nuns more.
Yes.
Have I already said this to you before?
No.
On the podcast. Can't remember. I just noticed the other day, because I travel by train a lot. But you could, in the old days, you couldn't get on a train without seeing a couple of nuns having a whale of a time, having a little laugh together about some Christian business. Never see a nun.
Mm-hmm.
Are they all driving? Getting minibuses? What are you doing, nuns?
One of my favourite jokes is the two nuns in a car. Do you know the two nuns in a car?
Is that the one with Dracula in it?
I must have said. Yeah, Dracula jumps on the bonnet and one says to the other, get out and show him your cross. So she gets out and says, get off the f***ing car. Love that
That's
joke.
A good joke.
It's a good joke. Maybe that's what they're telling each other. That's what they were giggling.
Yeah.
So what she did, she gave a specific set of instructions to be followed out to stop the devil getting his devilish claws on her body. So when she died, they had to sew up her body in a stag's skin, then lay her on her back in a stone coffin. On top of the coffin, they had to put another heavy stone, tie that up with strong chains. Strong chains, it says.
Right, okay.
And then they had to get someone to say psalms for her for 50 nights without stopping, and masses to be said on 50 mornings, presumably also without stopping, until it stopped being morning, I guess. Otherwise, you've got psalms and masses going on at the same time, and that's going to get annoying.
Think of the din.
Yes, a cacophony around the coffin.
A cacophony! Brilliant. Well done. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, he's run away again. Come back, Alistair. I've got more raisins. And if as a result of all this, her body remained quietly in the grave for 3 days and nights and was not disturbed, they could be sure that all was well, and then her corpse could be safely buried in the churchyard. So, how do you think it went, Alistair?
I'm going to say badly.
Yeah.
I don't know about her kids, but I stopped listening to those instructions about halfway through.
Yeah. There is a lot.
There's a lot. Let's see how much I can remember. Sewed up in a stag, put inside a stone coffin, an additional stone put on top of the coffin.
Yes.
Strong chains, make them strong.
Make sure.
And then 50 psalms, a bunch of masses.
50 nights of psalms, not 50 psalms, Alistair.
Okay. So what happened? Did they get bored? Because it sounds boring as hell.
As soon as they laid her in the stone coffin, a demon of great height broke into the church with a bunch of other demons, knocked the stone straight off the coffin, snapping the chains. And then the devil himself arrived on the scene.
The devil himself?
The devil himself.
The devil.
He commanded the dead body of the Witch of Berkeley to rise, threw her over his black horse, which in some reports is covered in spikes, and rode off.
A spiky horse?
A spiky horse.
Wow. Mm.
And rode away with her, and she was never seen again.
Wow.
Which is for the best, given the circumstances.
Quickly get on the blower, cancel all those psalms.
Yeah.
We're not going to need them. Well, you can keep the deposit, but we don't need it.
Well, actually, no. If we're paying you, you can come round and do the psalms.
Yeah, if we're paying
anyway. It does smell of sulphur in here.
Yeah, do it.
So that, Alistair, is what happened to the Witch of Berkeley.
That's a really good story. I don't think you've told that story before.
Also, in the church, there's this peculiar sculpture of a large toad with the heads of two children beneath it. The toad is supposed to have devoured two of the children of the Lords of Berkeley.
There's a child-eating toad, and you tell me now.
Yeah, sorry, just in case you want a little bit more local flavour.
Flavour of children.
There's a kid-eating toad, and apparently it developed a liking for human flesh and grew to a monstrous size by feeding on the bodies of prisoners who were chucked in the oubliette. We've definitely talked about oubliettes before because I didn't know how you said it.
I think it's oubliette with the stress on the final syllable.
I used to think it was oublier in actual French, but it's not. It's English French.
Is it? Is it one of those English French words?
Like croissant.
Croissant for our American listeners.
Pastry.
Wow, that's like the early version of those crocodiles that were supposedly flushed into the New York sewers and grew to a monstrous size.
Yes!
That's the oldest version of the thing grew to a monstrous size legend I've ever heard.
It started off eating two children.
Apart from, now that I think about it, the Lambton Worm.
Add your gob.
Because that grat. As well you know, James.
I do. But yeah, that sculpture of the big toad with the two kids beneath it is in the church still. On the top of the fourth pillar eastwards on the south side of the church for anyone who's in the Berkeley area. wants to check it out.
If it even is a sculpture.
What, just a very still toad?
I think it might be biding its time, waiting for a particularly appetizing child to come past. And then the tongue. What happened to Jasper?
According to Mark Turner, the official guide to the church makes no mention of the toad's flesh-eating reputation.
Well, it wouldn't. They don't want people to know.
They're in the pocket of Big Toad.
Yeah, this is the official guide of the church. James, you've got to have more media savvy. Of course, the official narrative is that toad is not eating children.
The MSP, the mainstream pamphlet.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They've pulled the blooming wool over my eyes again. I am a sheeple. So, I'm such a sheeple.
Yeah.
That's the tale of Witch of Berkeley with a shorter side to a kid eating toad.
Well, I'm glad you swerved frogwards right at the end there. Thank you.
Unlike those kids.
Shall we do the score so you can snuggle back into your matchbox there, James?
Alongside my raisin, my favourite
raisin.
Alongside
your raisin, yes.
You ready to bring the scores?
Yeah, yes, I'm ready. Hold on, let me just turn my baseball cap backwards.
Nice.
Okay, ready to go.
First up, naming.
Names.
There weren't many, were there?
Barclay, the Witch of Barclay. Does she even have a name apart from the Witch of Barclay?
No, she's just known by her job.
Just Sandra the Witch.
Billy of Marms, William of Marms.
William of Marms, that's quite good. Yeah. Nah.
Theodore, the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Well, the other two, Alvin and Simon. Yeah, it's potentially one third of a great name.
Yeah.
Alvin, Simon and Theodore. Well, I'd have to hear something pretty good to go above a two at this point.
No, I've got nothing. I got nothing. Don't even know what the names of Raven was or Raisin.
We don't
even
know the Raisin's name. I think it was Terry.
No, Jackfruit or Jackdaw, sorry.
No, it's a two. I'm making you an offer and it's two. And I think you should take it.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm making you an offer you can't refuse, like God would.
Some raisins.
Some fish.
I don't know if it is just literally the brain fog, but I'm starting to feel that we've even done the raisin riff before.
Have we?
Somehow. I don't know. We've
been double riffing a lot lately. Well, look, we're a couple of tired boys just doing our best, okay, James?
Yeah.
If anything, we're saving the listeners time so they don't have to re-listen to episodes. We'll just do the same riffs.
Yes. Okay, two. Category two. The second.
Category the second.
Supernatural.
Supernatural, very high.
Yeah.
Witch having kids, monk and a nun. That's just a weird situation.
Tough at Christmas.
Yeah, very awkward.
Very awkward at Christmas.
General witchcraft. Omens in the flight of birds. That's very supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Ploughing your last furrow.
Yes. Raising storms, killing people, and then it was fairly mild throughout, but then right at the last second, a whole rabble of 80s style demons, 80s movie demons, probably all with motorbikes, and vaguely countercultural aesthetics, because in every 80s film the villain always look kind of punky and countercultural, even though in the actual 1980s the real villains were...
Go on. The suits.
Yeah.
Well, that's your two baddies. Those are your two baddies.
Your two classic 80s baddies, the guy with the glasses and the suit and the guy with a spike-head knuckles.
And you often find, though, the guy with the spiky knuckles, he's working for the guy in the suit.
No way! James, you're blowing my mind. What?
I'm blowing your mind like blooming Clarence Boddicker might in the film Robocop. Robocop.
Is that how Americans pronounce it?
Yeah, for the Americans.
And Rob O'Cop for the Irish.
Yeah.
So what was this? What were we talking about?
What was it? I think it was supernatural.
And
somehow.
At the end, a spiked horse of the devil himself. Surely, James, any episode featuring the devil himself must be a high scorer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's five.
Yes.
I mean, really, it's four, but you're not well and you've tried your best. So it's five.
Yeah. Okay.
There's an extra one left for you. All right, what's your third category?
It is the spirit of the law.
Ooh, explain that.
I hear people say, it's not about the letter of the law, it's about the spirit of the law. And I think...
I've heard that phrase.
I don't know what that means.
No.
But there's a lot of laws about spirits in this one, so I feel that it's justified.
Yes, so you had all the rules about what the punishments would be for various types of witchcraft.
The various years of penance for killing someone through witchcraft or sending them mad.
Which, to be fair, you can't do, so. And there were her laws, rules, her very specific
rules.
Set of guidelines.
Which either were not actually followed through by the children, they've forgotten some witch have lost to history, or they were sold a bum steer, they weren't going
to
work.
Yeah, the first one was probably close the door to the place this is happening and then do it.
It didn't work. Do the singing first. Get a few psalms in. A
few psalms up top. Bish, bash, bosh.
Mm.
And start on the rest of it.
Exactly. But they didn't work. The devil came. The devil themselves.
I'm not sure that's, strictly speaking, a matter of law. But it would be wrong for me to cleave to the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the score.
Yes.
So I think it's four.
Yeah, okay.
Or that's I've confused good. Myself. It's four.
Thank you. Well done. And the final category.
My finger's bleeding. That sounds like a bad sign.
What?
James, have you cursed me?
Yeah. No. How's that? Has the storm reached you yet?
There was a storm here just the other week. James?
Well, for the fourth and final category, before I get served with 4 years of penance, it is actually a category. It comes from the law folk. From when I asked the question, have we done this before? Plarson suggested have the category I told you so.
Because you told me about a toad.
I may have told you about this toad before.
Okay, well. So it depends really on how many times you've told me about this toad, and neither of us know.
Could I tweak it to, I told you I was ill?
Okay, all right. So that's a Spike Milligan reference?
Yes. She foresaw her own death.
She did foresee her own death.
To be fair, she did foresee the devil trying to steal her body.
Mm-hmm. She was right about that. It seemed over the top at the time. And you are ill.
And I am ill, and I told you all about it, and
there
was a toad in the story.
And there was a toad in the story. It's 5 out of 5. Well tweaked, because you were looking at a one there, James.
Oh, thank goodness. Thanks, Plarson. I was standing on the shoulders of giant toads. Sorry, Plarson, I've just called you a giant toad there as well. Souls. So, yeah, I hope I didn't tell you that one already.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I'm sure we'd have remembered that toad.
I would have remembered a toad that eats children. I'm sure I would have, unless the toad has a way of making us forget.
If you who are listening to this...
Not me now.
No.
The listener.
But if you who's listening to this...
That's you.
...wants to give...
Not me.
No, them.
What about them?
If they want to give a piece of their mind, because we have told this before, if they want to get in on that law folk Discord... How can they do it, Alistair?
They have to sign up to the Patreon. They have to. Patreon.com/lawmenpod. Is that correct?
That is absolutely bang on. Let's stop this recording because I've lost the ability to speak. And like Marlon Brando, he moved in mysterious ways.
Yes. Yeah.
Without trousers on in his later work. Everyone knows Brando's that story about Marlon Brando not everyone knows the story about Marlon Brando not wearing trousers in film so he wouldn't be shot from the waist down. You do now.
I made an inference based on you saying that.
Otherwise it sounds like I'm having a pop at God. Or saying that he just did a silly walk. But no, he didn't wear trousers in his later films because he didn't want to be shot from the waist down. That's the story. He was notably very lazy, wouldn't learn his lines. I think he didn't wear trousers because he couldn't be bothered to put on trousers. Or they had all his script in.
Yes, he had his script written on his legs. Screw you, Marlon Brando, do your job.